Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
All right. So, good morning. Is everybody alive and well?
Yes, sir.
I am excited to be here this morning. I hope you are. As you can see, there's so much going on in the lobby, and we're getting ready for our Thanksgiving feast. They're telling me in the back that my mic's not working, so check. Jared, I'm gonna roll with this wired mic right here. Is that okay? I think this is one Christy was singing with. I'm just kidding. Sorry about that. But anyway, as you can see, we're getting ready for our Friendsgiving feast. We're excited about that. Also, we have an incredible opportunity to celebrate baptisms today after church. Can we just give it up in celebration for people taking steps of faith? And just an incredible time, incredible day. And so I'm thankful to be here, thankful for you and for what God is doing. And so it is November. It is the month of No Shave November. So I just got to speak to my beard for a minute. You know, I'm so proud of this. It's taken me this long in my life to make it happen. But we are in the middle of a series called Bridge Builders, and because that's what we want to be. We want to be bridge builders. And when we talk about the bridge, we talk about relationships. And so we've been studying the book of Nehemiah. God impressed it on our heart to say, hey, for the next 52 days, I want you to study the book of Nehemiah as the holidays are coming up and talk about some specific steps that we can take to be better bridge builders, to be in our community, and to see God do incredible things. And God did incredible things through Nehemiah. And so I want to pray for us, and then we're going to jump right in, and we're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, if you have your Bibles, we're going to put it on the screens for us as well, but Nehemiah chapter 4. I'm going to try to be a little shorter today, amen, right? Like, we get to go and enjoy some incredible food together, and just to have community, be together with family. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the volunteers that just poured their heart and into today, their heart into every single week, and just their boldness and their courage to step out and to be a bridge every Sunday morning and during the week, God. And I just thank you how they have blessed my life and how you've worked through them. And God, I just pray that you use your word this morning. I pray that we can just take any kind of burden or weight or just busyness of life, God, and we can come in for the next few moments and just lay that at your feet. God, I pray that you will speak to our hearts. I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase, God. I pray that you will just move like a mighty wind inside of our lives. We love you and ask all this. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Now, you guys know I like to walk a little bit, so this wire may contain me. But how many of you guys have ever been on a road trip? You've been on a road trip before? I'm talking about longer than 3 hours, longer than 3 hours. I think with today's technology we have. And you ever notice when you start out and you begin to plan and prepare and think for a road trip, you're like, this is going to be the greatest like week, 5 days, 5 hours, 16 hours of my life. I remember in college, we had a buddy who was playing football in Oklahoma. And so we were in Georgia and we said, well, you know, we're just going to go up for the weekend, watch him play. 16-hour drive there, 16-hour drive back. And you start out and you're like high-fiving chest, be like, this is going to be awesome, right? Like you're getting the kids in the car, you're getting them buckled and got the DVD set. Nowadays, right, didn't have DVD sets, but that, anyway, but like just getting everybody squared away. And then about an hour goes, you're singing like, I will walk fire. You know, like you got your favorite songs you're jamming to and everything is just good. And then about the 3 hour mark hits and you got no more songs to sing. Like you're hungry. My little one, Bennett, like he has to go use the restroom literally every 30 seconds. So I'm like, again, really? But about 3 hours in, you're just like, okay, this is enough, right? Like all of a sudden you're turning on each other. You're like, we gotta focus, stick together. You're talking to your spouse, but like just knowing that's what happens, right? And the length of time as you're traveling. And when we embark on this journey called Life. And we look at the story of Nehemiah. And so we're in the portion of the story where he first started out, and God's given him this call. And in Nehemiah chapter 1, God just burdened and broke his heart for his hometown, Jerusalem. And so he went back and got permission and even raised funds from the king and made these bold action steps. And he went back to Jerusalem and he started building this wall. And so in Nehemiah chapter 3, they get to work. They divide up the work and not just talk about doing it, but they actually dive in, roll their sleeves up, get their hands dirty, and start doing the work. And then Nehemiah chapter 4 comes. And it's like that 3 or 4 hour mark on a road trip. Like, okay, like it was awesome. We did the rally cry. We came together. Like we had the pep talk, but now the work is starting. And now, as we know in life, that it's not always easy. It's not always going to be a smooth road. And in fact, we even come across discouragement. I don't know about you, but in life, I can face discouragement. I can face that there's a lot of different battles that can happen, and we're going to talk about a few of those. But the main thing we're going to talk about today through Nehemiah chapter 4 is how to overcome and push through discouragement. And so this is I hope it enriches our heart, enriches our soul, and we can walk out encouraged by the power of God's Word and how we can push through even those moments of discouragement. And so we're going to start in Nehemiah chapter 4, read verses 1 through 3. If you're ready, say amen. Amen. We're going to start in verse 1. We're going to read in the ESV. We've been kind of sitting in that particular translation for that. And so we're going to start in chapter 1. It says, "Now, when Sanballat," which he is one of the head governing authorities right now over Jerusalem and over this particular part of Judah. "Now, when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and of the army of Samaria, 'What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that?' Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, 'Yes, what they are building, if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall.'" And so the Jew, they're getting ready. They're pulling all their tools together. They start to build up the wall. And then the guys who are in charge, who are over this particular area, who are actually probably even making money off the broken down city here, because now they got the Jewish people where they want them in oppression, and they can control them a little bit better. Now they're rising up and they're starting to build their walls up. And these guys are angry because they're worried that, hey, now they're going to rise up. They're going to take back over. I'm no longer going to be in charge. And so they get angry. And they start, like, to me, it's just kind of funny because Sanballat starts, and then this guy, Tobiah comes, and I don't even really know what this means. He's like, "Yo, if a fox climbs on this wall, it won't even withstand. It'll just come crumbling down," right? Like, ooh, my kids say sick burn, so I don't know if that's relevant. But so he's coming at him. They're saying these things to these guys. And so what they are facing is this opposition. They're facing this now. Hey, we're going to see that it escalates way further than even words here in this moment and in this story. But right now we're seeing the first glance that they're facing some opposition that is going to bring some discouragement to their movement and to what God has called them to do and what is in front of them. And did you know that as Christians, that sometimes we will face discouragement? Sometimes we are going to face opposition because there is an enemy, the devil, who was kicked out of heaven because he wanted to take over. He wanted to be God. He wanted to be worshiped. And God said, there's no room for that here. And so he kicked him out. And now calls him the prince of lies. And so he comes and tries to discourage Christians, discourage people from following God, from believing in Jesus, so that more people will follow him. He wants to be God. He wants to worship. He wants people to follow. And he knows that if he can disrupt that, if he can disrupt everything that's going on in our life, that he can oppose us. And so for us, there's a lot of different avenues that we can face opposition in our life. We can face, and not only do we have the enemy, but we also have our sinful nature. And so when we were born into sin, right? And Joel, he had a great description of this. He said, when your kids, when we're younger, we don't have to teach our kids to sin, right? We don't have to teach them to go, this is mine, all right? Like, this is mine. This is all me. We don't have to teach them to lie, right? No, we have to teach them to tell the truth, because there's something inside of us that pulls us away from God. And so when we come to know Christ, He gives us a new life. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of us and begins to convict us to righteousness, to help us to be more, just like we were singing, be more like Jesus. And He changes us into His image each and every day. But there's this almost constant opposition that we face. And sometimes while we're living on this side of heaven, it can be discouraging, right? It can be hard to say, man, I just don't know. I don't know if you ever thought this. I just don't know if I can do it today, God. I just don't know if I can make it. God, this is just too much. This is just way too much going on. I don't even know. And you may be sitting here thinking, and maybe you're not, I'm not fully giving my life to this Jesus thing. I'm not sure about this Bible thing. But I can tell you that once you live for Christ, once you taste that opportunity, God has changed you. You begin to see the power of why you want to be more like Christ, of the purpose that He fills up inside of our heart, of the calling He gives us in our life, and that I know that in Christ I have all of these things, immeasurably more, and He is fighting for me in those promises. I can remember the first time I gave my life to Christ, and then I started to face a little bit of opposition because I rolled with a crowd that liked the party. They liked to what they would call have fun, right? And so as I began to transition my life and to change a little bit, they started to notice and they said, hey, Daniel, why are you acting this way? Why don't you like to have fun anymore? And to me, like there was just something inside of me, the Holy Spirit started to speak and I was like, you know what's fun? Because when I first came to know Christ, I started serving in prison ministry and youth detention center. And I remember leading a kid to Christ in a prison cell. And I'm like, you talk about fun. You see this kid's life change where he's at rock bottom and now his life has changed and he's trying to learn more about Jesus. And I'm seeing his eyes light up and it's like he has hope again. I'm like, that is fun. Like, that's what God's called me to. Like, I can't replace that. And once we taste the calling that God has, the purpose that God has on our life, we see the reason, okay, yes, I want to continue. I know I may face opposition. I know I may have obstacles in my path. And so I want to spend just a few moments and look at Nehemiah and look at some of the obstacles we may face and then end with how can we push through that discouragement. And so I want to read here in verse 10 because they had this opposition, Sanballat and Tobias start to come. And then later we see that they start to actually get in their way. They try to stop them. They even plot to kill Nehemiah so that he can stop building on this wall. And we see that we can face discouragement, as you can see the point here on the screen, from the outside by obstacles and criticism. I want to show you here in verse 10 what Nehemiah faces here in verse 10. It says, in Judah, it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There is too much rubble by ourselves. We will not be able to rebuild the wall. And so we see this picture here in Nehemiah chapter 10. And how at first, Sanballat and Tobiah, they start to speak against Nehemiah. In fact, they start to plot to kill Nehemiah. And so they face obstacles from the outside, right? Nehemiah could not control that. Nehemiah could not wrap his mind, could not stop that. But that obstacle came in front of him. And you and I may face obstacles in our life. A situation may happen. A circumstance may happen. We were even getting ready to have this incredible day and have baptisms, right? And then we find out, hey, you can't even fill up the baptismal here at the college. So you got to worry how to get 200 gallons of water into a particular place. And so we had some incredible volunteers and God began to work in the children's family and put it on a trailer, take it to the Nahars, they fill it up, bring it back. But all these obstacles just to have the one thing happen, and you can't control those obstacles. I don't know about you, but maybe you have started out with your work day and you said, yes, I've been to church. Like God is, I feel like He just spoke to me at church. And then Monday morning comes, you go to crank the car up, or you walk into work, and just that one thing's not working. You're like, oh, I was on the path, and that one thing is just not working. I want to get my doctor in spiritual warfare, because I want to know if the enemy works through technology. There's so many mornings we walk in here on Sunday morning, and nothing's working, right? And I'm just like, what is going on? And because there are obstacles that arise. And I think sometimes God will even allow some of those obstacles to come in front of us to show us that He is more powerful, to show us that His strength is greater, and to show us that I will bring people together to still make this happen. And so we see a picture that we may face obstacles from the outside. And then in verse 10, as I just read, this is the people. So now they're seeing these obstacles start to happen around them. And then now all of a sudden the obstacles start to happen, and they start to think, and then they start to speak a certain way because it's getting hard. They don't know if they can keep rebuilding the wall here in verse 10. And I just want to read it one more time. The strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There is too much rubble. By ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild the wall. And now they're mental. They started to shift. They were all excited at the beginning. Remember, right at the beginning of the road trip, all excited. We can do this. We can change the world. We're going to rebuild this wall. God's going to move. Our nation's going to be back. And now this is their mindset, that our strength is failing. And in our life, we can feel like that discouragement can start to hit and say, oh, my strength is failing. I don't know if I can do this anymore. I don't know if I can continue to be there for these kids. I don't know if I can continue to show up. I don't know if I can keep going into this classroom, God. I don't know if I can take this final season. I don't know what this may hold in front of me. And then he goes and says, there is just too much rubble. There is too much rubble. Have you ever looked at the world? Or looked at your family, or looked at your life and just said, God, there's just so much to do. How do I balance all of these things? And we see three different things that he begins to show us, that the burden is too much. And then that there's too much to do, and that we don't have enough strength to accomplish that. And that's not God speaking to our heart. That's the father of lies. Who is getting us to focus on everything that is too big and allow the discouragement to come into our mind and come into our heart. And it feels like we're set back a little bit. And for us to focus on that discouragement. And then the last thing it says, by ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild this wall. You know what the enemy wants us to think? That you're by yourself. That you're the only one going through this. That by ourselves, we can't rebuild this wall. The enemy wants you to think, hey, you're all alone. You can't do it. You don't have enough strength. There's too much to do. And on top of that, you're alone. Nobody else thinks the way you're thinking. Nobody else faces discouragement. No, nothing of that is happening. You're all by yourself. There's nobody around you. Where's your family? Where's your friends? Begins to feed those lies into the inside of our heart and inside of our mind, right? And discouragement and doubt can start to creep into our lives. But I'm here, and you're like, I'm glad I came to church, right? Like, I'm so encouraged right now. But what I want to show us is that the enemy will try to lead us through that discouragement phase. But then we see later Nehemiah being the incredible leader that he is. And you know that Max Lucado. John Maxwell teaches us that leadership is influence. And so we all have influence inside of this room. We have influence over ourselves. We have influence in our family, influence at work, influence in our community. And so we see that we are all leaders. And God has called us to be good stewards of our leadership. And I love this piece of Nehemiah. I didn't put this in my notes, but great leaders are culture creators. They walk into a situation and they don't see what is, and they just walk into it and reflect that culture. They walk in and they see that culture and they go, no, I'm going to speak life into this culture. I'm going to speak life in this situation. I'm going to speak life into your life. And I begin to allow God to change the culture that is around me. And so Nehemiah walks in, he's being the great leader, and he's sensing all of this discouragement. All this weight begins to build up. Nehemiah goes, okay, let's redirect our thoughts. And then he goes here in verse 14. So if you have your highlights, circles, anything right there, these are some powerful verses right here of how we can push past discouragement. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14. It says, and I looked, and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." I look at that picture right there, and I wish I had like an awesome Scottish accent, like the Braveheart scene, you know, come walking in, "Fight for your homes and for your brother." You know, I wish I could do that, but I can't. But I love this. Nehemiah steps up. He sees the discouragement on the faces of his people. And he arises in the situation. He isn't a coward back. He says, no, because bold bridge builders take bold action steps, right? We talked about that last week. And he steps up and he says, no, I'm going to say something right now because I see the discouragement. I see you're facing opposition and I'm going to change this. And he says, and I looked and rose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. You see what they're saying. You see what's in front of us. Do not let that cause fear. He says, the first thing I want us to see, that bridge builders remember the Lord, who He is and how great He is. Bridge builders remember the Lord. Anytime we face discouragement, we have to go back to who God is. We have to go back to our Lord and what He has done in our life. That is the first step. And Nehemiah is reminding his people, hey, do you remember who our God is? And I'm sure, I wonder if Nehemiah even stepped in and said, I prayed for success and favor and I risked my life and I went before the king. And when, as I went before the king, now he is able to grant me success. And not only that, he gave us resources to build this wall. He allowed us to be here in this moment. And he reminds them of how amazing and how big and how awesome that their God is, the one that they are serving, the one that have called them to this. And as we look at some of those discouragements that the enemy may feed into our lives, we have to remember who God is. And you may think, I'm in this thing alone. I'm by myself. I can't do this. Like, there's just too much going on around me. And what we need to remember is that God loved you so much that He sent His Son Jesus. That He loved you so much that He didn't want you to feel alone. That now, not only did He die on the cross and raise again, that He went back to heaven, but now He's also given you the Holy Spirit. So that any moment, any time, any day, you can allow that peace that passes all circumstances, all situation, to flow inside of our hearts. That we can understand that we have that God that living inside of us. That every single day, we may even have to stop before we go into work and remember who our God is. That's why I'm a huge advocate of memorizing Scripture, allowing that to get deep down inside of our heart, deep down in our minds. And so, because when discouragement comes right here, who knows that this is a huge battle right here, that we're trying to go back and forth. And then when we hear a lie, when we hear discouragement, all of a sudden the truth kicks in. Right? And the Holy Spirit just reaches down and grabs that verse that maybe you read that morning or earlier that week and says, no, remember, this is what God says about you. This is who God says you are. And that you're a child of God, that you're not in this thing alone. And in fact, show up on Sunday and there's a whole bunch of people that want to give you a hug, a high five, and say, hey, you're not in this thing alone. We're here together. We're walking through this journey and we can still do this thing together to not ever feel alone, because God is with us. It's one of the most powerful promises that He can give us each and every day, that God is with us. And Nehemiah says that one thing. And then the last thing, as he goes into his Scottish accent, he says, fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Bridge builders understand who they are fighting for. Bridge builders understand who they are fighting for. When we walk into our neighborhoods, we remember the calls that God has called us to. We remember who we are fighting for. We remember how God can use us to reach and to help and to speak life and to speak hope into other people. And I can remember the first time when I first got here, I started working like a part-time job a year ago, and I was working at Lowe's and I was doing that cashier. I was just killing it, just like, you know what I'm saying? And just kidding, but going into Lowe's, and I moved into the paint section, and so I'm mixing paint for somebody, and I love to do stuff with my hands, so that was kind of something I really enjoyed. And so I was doing mixing my paint, and I reach up and I grab this paint can and I hand it to the lady, and she looks at me. I'm not making this up, I promise. She goes, "Where do you go to church?" I'm like, what? A crazy story is my wife and I, we just moved here this month to start a church, to plant a church, and God's called us to this cause, God's called us to this plan, and she goes, whew. She's like almost crying. She's like, whew, this is weird. She's like, I've had the weirdest day. I live on Hilton Head Island, and a youth pastor moved in next door to me. And I was just past week, I was just praying to God because I wasn't sure what to do with my son. And I'm not sure what to do with my life. And I just kind of feel lost and I didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden this youth pastor starts moving in and you're mixing my paint and your pastor just moved here. And so I got a chance just to talk to her and kind of speak some encouragement. I was like, you know, God, like that is, you, that's not an accident. God brought us here for our lives to intersect so that you would know how much God loves you, that you're not alone, even though you may be facing encouragement, that we're here in this thing together. And stories like that keep me going. Stories like that going, okay, God, you're using me. God, I know who I'm fighting for. Looking into the eyes of people who are professing Jesus for the first time. And you're like, yes, this is incredible. And then you walk through the doors and you give somebody a handshake or a hug. And all of a sudden you realize that, man, I didn't feel welcomed anywhere and started coming to this church. And that is incredible to remember the call that we are fighting for, to remember who God has called us to serve. And every time we go home and we talk to our neighbors or we serve in the community, this past Friday night, we went to the Agape Center and we got to serve families and be a part of the community and just be together. And I believe that's where God's called us to be, right where people are, mixing, sitting across tables together, having conversations and seeing the people and their eyes light up because one, they may get a hot meal, or two, seeing that, wow, you would even talk to me. And we remember the calls that God has called us to. Or maybe you're a mom or a dad and you're trying to figure out, I just don't know what to do. I don't know what my next step is to take. And I just feel like I just need to stop, or I just need to give up, or I just don't know what to do. Or I'm looking at my marriage. I just don't know what next step I should take. And you remember the cause that you're fighting for, that what it's worth, that each and every day that we wake up, we're fighting for that cause because your marriage and the redemption in your marriage may point somebody to Christ one day. And you see how powerful that God can use in the purpose that we see inside of our lives, or maybe in our employment, how God is using us inside of our work, that each and every day how we treat people, they notice that we're different. It's because we remember who we are fighting for, and we remember how God has changed our life. And so as we're facing discouragement, I want to go just these last two things again. I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite the band to come back up, and they're going to sing this song, Jesus Paid It All. I love this song because we remember who our God is. We remember the Lord and how great and how awesome He is and the price that He paid for you to be free, for me to be free. We're about to go outside. We're going to celebrate baptism. Like that should fire us up to get excited, right? Because people are taking steps of faith, and we remember, yes, that's why we're here, is to celebrate that fact, is to walk with people in that, and we're seeing God move, and that's the reason that God's called us to. When we face discouragement, remember the Lord who is great and awesome. When we face discouragement, remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Don't allow the circumstance to well up and to cloud our judgment and to cloud our minds. Remember who God is. And the last one, bridge builders understand who they are fighting for. Even if you got to go and you got a goal, maybe at work, or you got a goal to talk to this many people, or you want to pray for this many people, I encourage you to write it down. Post it on your wall. Every time you walk out the door, you see that picture. You see what, oh, this is what I'm fighting for. This is what I want to give my life. This is what is worth it right here, as we talked about before. This is what I'm heading towards, and I'm praying for this person. I'm walking with this person. This is for my family. This is for my kids. This is for the next generation. That God is a generational God, that He may use the work, I say may, He will use the work that you're doing today for the next generation and the generation after that and the generation after that. Amen. That your purpose today is not just purpose for today, it's purpose for tomorrow. And in the face of discouragement, remember who you're fighting for. Even if you have to go back to Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14, maybe if you're feeling discouraged, and you don't feel like there's no way out in life, you're not even sure if you can do this anymore. That's lies. Lies from the enemy. Remember how great and how awesome our God is. And he's saying, no, I want you to experience this love that I will walk with you through any and every circumstance. And even in the heartache, we discover our God, the Comforter, and that he will comfort us. As 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast your cares onto God, for he cares for us. And so as we close today, maybe you have some discouragement. Maybe you're on hour 4 on your road trip and the calls that God has called you to, and you're like, ah, it's too much, God, too much. I can't see through the cloud. My prayer is that you would give that to God. Maybe during this song, you speak that to God and just say, God, this, I have discouragement in this area of my life right now. This is causing me pain. This is causing me heartache. God, I'm giving that to you. And so that would be my prayer, and allow him. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe that God is still in the business of healing, saving, changing, and giving purpose to each and every person as we call out to him. If you feel like you want somebody to pray for you, I'm going to be right here, and I'd love to pray with you, pray for you. Or maybe you've never given your life to Christ before, and you're saying, hey, I'm ready to take that step. I see people taking bold steps of faith and saying that, hey, I've made a decision for Christ, and now I'm getting baptized. And so maybe you realize, like, hey, I've never actually even taken that step and saying, I believe in Jesus. And as we pray together, my prayer is that you would just say, hey, Daniel, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. So I'm gonna be right up here in the back. And so if you want to talk to me either right after service or whatever that may look like, I want to be there for you and help you take that step. So, but let's pray together as a church. Dear Heavenly Father, God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for examples like Nehemiah, who you worked through thousands of years ago, God. And he showed us how to be a great leader, how to change culture.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.